Hey, Shipper City, thanks for listening. Before we jump into the episode, do me a favor and consider tapping that support this podcast link in your favorite podcast player. Every little bit helps us stay on the air and keeps us creating the content that you love.
Be sure to follow along on social. We are on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at iShipItPod. You can head over to the website, iShipItPod.com, to sign up for email updates when new episodes are released. And you can send us emails at iShipItPod@gmail.com.
And remember to rate and review us on whatever platform you're listening to, and tell your friends that you ship it. So take a second, do all of that while you enjoy a word from our sponsors.
Thor ate a lot of Pop-Tarts in these fanfics.
It is a hot garbage fire.
Do you not know what sex pollen is?
I mean, Phantom Seed! What?
I don't care. I ship it. I don't care. I ship it.
Hey there, geek girls, geek boys, and geeks beyond the binary. This is Emily J with the I Ship It podcast, your safe space on the internet for fan fiction, fandom, and all that stuff you've been pretending you're not reading on your phones. Hello again, friends and family in Shipper City. I am joined once again this week. This is a very exciting December for me because I have guests every week. It's just the whole month spent with my friendships. And this week, we are joined by our friendship, Andra.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm really good. It's been a week.
This is your safe space this week because you have some work stuff coming up. Fun fact, yeah. before we started recording, Ange and I, who, as I've mentioned before, Ange and I have a rich, beautiful friendship history together. One of my oldest friends, I think, in the world. But in she found out thanks to Facebook. Was it Facebook that told you?
It was Facebook that told me.
Okay. That she has been with her current job for how many years, Ange?
Nine years.
Okay. So that's impressive. Congrats. Whatever.
Thank you. Best wishes.
Warmest regards. But in thinking about it, I was like, oh, yeah, you were at my house drinking wine the weekend before you started that job. Like, you left on Sunday morning and were like, okay, I have to go pretend to be a professional and, like, you know, straighten my hair and stuff and set my alarm. And I was like, okay, that's weird. Fine. Have a good time.
Things I don't do now that I'm working remote.
Yeah. I started my remote job last week and I'm like, why would I ever wear a pants with a zipper ever again?
Same.
Outrageous. But as we were talking about it, I was like, 9 years. I feel like, what job was I working 9 years ago? Because it certainly wasn't the one that I literally just started last week. And in doing so, it occurred to me, I had to count. I've had 11 jobs. 11 jobs in the time that Angela has one job. And I have had 11 at 10 different companies. It's not like I've had 11 jobs within the same company and I'm just like, oh, let's try out a different role.
Just leveling
training to
up.
Be CEO. No. None of these. Oh, sorry. Let me take it back. Two of these jobs were promotions and they were not deserved. And then everything else was like, I think I'll go in a vastly different direction. Like different career paths. Anyway, on paper, and in, why am I saying on paper? As if it's not true. Is it the citizens of Shipper City don't know that they're led by a fucking bipolar lunatic. On paper, Ange is definitely the more stable of the duo.
On paper.
On paper. But you know what? Out of the two of us, who has a podcast?
That's the
metric of success I give myself, by the way.
It's a good metric, like, though.
Oh, I have babies. I have a home that I own with a mortgage. I'm like, well, I have a podcast. Can you say that?
I can't say that to any of them. So clearly.
But you have had the same job for 9 years.
I have.
So. Anyway, a lot of milestones we're celebrating this week. Specifically today, when we're recording, not when this will be released, but when we're recording, it is the birthday of somebody incredibly special to you, to me, I'd say to Shipper City and to the world at large.
Mm-hmm.
It is our lady of perpetual love ballads, Taylor Swift. It is her 31st birthday today.
Woohoo!
Happy freaking birthday, Taylor. And thank
Happy
you
birthday
for the birthday gift that you gave to all of us. Cal Surprise.
Yes.
I wake up on Thursday morning to hear this news. I was like, this must be an old, literally, because I follow her on Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I know Taylor and I would be great friends, because she's also on Tumblr, where you can be your authentic fucking trash goblin self. And mostly what she does is reblog memes of herself, which is exactly what I would do if I was famous.
I love a good trash goblin, let's be honest.
And on Tumblr. It's a really funny thing because she's definitely managing her own Tumblr account. I cannot imagine that there's somebody like out there who's taking care of Taylor's Tumblr account, because she's so fucking weird. And it
Girl
comes out on
heart.
Tumblr. There's a lot of cat stuff, a lot of like cottagecore stuff, and then her making fun of herself by reblogging the things that she finds on Tumblr.
Oh god.
About herself.
Pure gold.
Anyway, I saw this message, this like post from her, and I literally thought, I was like, oh, this is just a repost of somebody from when she did Folklore. Like, mm-hmm. somebody just reblogged that. That's a weird thing to reblog. And I'm like, oh, wait, but the album name is different. Oh, but the date's different. That's tomorrow. What?
Yeah.
Taylor, we are not worthy. We were not prepared. Angela.
We didn't deserve it.
What have we done to deserve this? Two
Literally
albums?
Nothing.
Two albums? Three
but
albums
I'll
in
take
2 years?
It.
Dang.
I got the message the night before, and I was like, I don't know if I can stay up until midnight to wait for it to release, because I'm old.
This is why the West Coast is the best coast, because I was listening to that shit at 9 p.m. 9:01, it was in my face.
Yeah. No, I had to wait until the next morning. So I got up at 8:20 before I had to clock into work at 8:30. I told you I don't set an alarm. It's fine.
Up at dawn to listen to Taylor.
Yeah, no, I waited until very last minute to clock in.
Good.
And I started listening to the album until my first conference call. And then I had to pause it, which was disappointing, but finished the album before my lunch break. And oh my gosh.
It's only an hour long, but it will change your fucking life.
Yeah.
It's
so good.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, Champagne Problems literally broke into my house to punch me in the face. I was like, Champagne Problems, I did nothing to you. Why are you doing this to me? What is this about? Oh, my God.
Very,
when did
very
you
good.
Cry? You said you cried three times. Let's talk about it.
Well, the floodgates. Well, it was on because my stupid Spotify was set up for mix.
Oh,
so
why?
I didn't realize. I was listening to the album out of order. It's fine.
Taylor is very particular about her track listings. Okay?
I know. But Marjorie,
oh,
floodgates, oh, obviously.
Oh, girl,
it's fine.
I mean, I don't know that people who are not in the Dead Parrot Club would really cry as much as we did at Marjorie, but I know you,
yeah,
and I know me,
yeah,
and
it was an ugly cry as a whole thing, tissues were involved.
Oh. Well, the fun thing about Marjorie, and by fun, I mean, fuck you, Taylor Swift. How dare you come into my life like this? how dare you read the diary I've never written in my own heart? The thing that she starts with, the whole never be so clever, you forget to be kind, never be so kind, mm-hmm. you forget to be clever. My grandma used to say that to me.
Aww.
Like almost word for word. And I found myself like mouthing those words along the first time I listened to it. And I was like, Taylor Swift, what are you doing?
She's tapped into a part of you that you didn't know she could acquire.
Taylor, I did not give you permission to view these files. How did you hack into my spirit like this? Okay, so that wasn't fair, but we wept at Marjorie. What else did you cry at?
So I definitely got choked up with Tolerate It.
Oh, sorry.
I thought that that was
same.
A lot of people I know can definitely relate to that. And I just thought that that was like a big, I don't know, important song on this album. An anthem, if you will.
If you will. I'm trying to think what else. No Body, No Crime.
Very good. Great job.
I didn't cry, obviously, but it took me a couple listens because I was listening to it while I was working. But first of all, thank you, Tay, for filling a void I didn't realize existed, which was catchy murder songs.
I mean, I listen to a lot of murder podcasts, so I felt, and I feel like there's a lot of people in our age bracket nowadays that listen to murder everything. So it's just, she just put that in there for us.
It was like, it's like The Lights Went Out in Georgia, Goodbye Earl, all of these like powerful country ballads about these power jams, about women killing awful men. Didn't realize I'd been missing a fresh one because the last one I could remember was Goodbye Earl, which was great. And honestly, fun fact, I just always thought of Liz when I listened to that song, because I was like, I would murder somebody. I would help Liz kill an abusive husband if I needed to. I mean, it would help you too. Don't get me wrong, but no, there was someone in particular
with the crime we needed to.
There was someone in particular that I was like, if this goes wrong, as in like she marries him, I will murder him. I will help her murder him. Thankfully, that didn't happen. He's unfortunately still very much alive, but he's ruining somebody else's life now. I was like, oh, cool, wow, great. They killed her unfaithful husband. Good for them. And then I listened to it again. It was just this morning. I listened to it again this morning, and I was like, wait a minute. Did he kill her first? Yes. He did. And so it made so much more sense. I was like, Chris, first I was like, Taylor, I feel like you maybe you're overreacting. Like, he's just a shitty guy who cheated on his wife. Like, yeah, no, that's unforgivable. But like, did he have to die? Yes, actually, he did. Who am I to tell Taylor she's overreacting? But yeah, I loved that one. And what's the other one? I can't say. Oh, you tell me your next one first.
Happiness. I think it's every mature woman's breakup song.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And the whole thing that... about how you can't deal with the idea of starting over. Oh
my God. Yeah. I feel that if 20-year-old me heard this song, I'd have been like, no. But
yeah,
I needed to hear that song back then.
Right. But it wouldn't have spoken to you.
Yeah. Because, you know, growing, maturing. But yeah, it's definitely one of my top ones on the album.
The best thing about being close to the same age as T is that she always writes songs that speak to exactly where I am in my life. And it's so nice to now it's like, oh, now we're singing very mature breakup songs, as in like ending a chapter of your life. Not that I'm planning on breaking up with anybody soon. Calm down. these are not personal, like, oh, I needed to hear this. But like, as an adult, it's nice to hear songs that are like that. And then we need to talk about, did I text you about this? I can't remember. How she wrote a Steve Rogers fanfic song?
No.
I'd like you to listen to the words to Coney Island on repeat 75 times, as I have in the last 48 hours.
All right.
Listen to those lyrics and tell me it's not about a sad fucking Steve Rogers thinking about how he broke up with Darcy Lewis. He chased away something good because he's so fucking damaged. Think about that, because that's all I've been thinking about for days. days.
You should text me sooner.
I should have. We could have had a whole goddamn thing and a whole damn dissertation about it. Yeah. No, I've tried to like talk about this with my fandom friends. And there's one that was like, oh, yeah, totally, 100%. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm like coming on too strong, but everyone else is like, yeah, I could see that. I'm like, no, you need to marinate in this with me. Like, you can see it is like kind of sort of agreeing with me. But like, no, you need to understand this is about Stephen Grant Rogers being sad about Darcy No Cannon middle name Lewis. And I need to write this fic. Do you understand? Taylor Swift is a Shale Chalk shipper and she wrote us this song.
She well could have. I can't wait for her to dissect this album on Disney Plus for us like she did the first one.
I didn't watch the first one because my Disney Plus lapsed and I'm not getting it back until WandaVision in January. It's fine. I have plenty to watch. Oh, don't think I missed that little tone, young lady.
I mean, maybe I'll slip you my password so you can watch it. Don't tell
I'm sorry.
Walt Disney.
I'm sorry. I didn't know there's friendship came with Taylor Swift prerequisites now. Oh, okay.
Well.
I really like to have on friends that I never, ever, ever fight with and then pick a fight with them on my podcast.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. Good. About Taylor Swift of all things. What was the other one that I cried about? Oh, God. Oh, I didn't cry, but I really loved Dorothea. That was fun.
It was a good one.
Yeah. It was very sweet. I was like, oh. And it's like really catchy.
It is very catchy.
And it's funny because I don't ever love the ones that she releases first. Like I like Willow, but it wasn't like I have to listen to this a billion times.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I didn't feel that way about Cardigan either. Actually, same deal with Cardigan. I love the lyrics. I don't love the song. I like the song, but I don't love it.
Not catchy enough for you?
I don't know what it is. I do like the video, though, where she has like a little coven.
Yeah. Did you watch the Willow video?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. The Willow video, okay. Where she has like the little coven that she dances around the fire with. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah.
Because I
was thinking the Cardigan video.
No, I love the Cardigan video. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Did you watch the video? I heard that too. don't think you're pulling any sass over on me, young lady. I hear all of it. No. But there was I don't know what happened. I think it was on Tumblr. It was probably on Tumblr. It's the only fucking social media site I couldn't stand anymore. In case you haven't noticed, I've all but disappeared from everything else. I can't do Facebook anymore. Twitter gives me hives.
Dumpster fire. I can't do Twitter. I don't know how to tweet. It's a whole thing.
Because you used to manage the social media for like a lot of your clients.
No, thank God, anyway. No, it was never me.
Anyway, you do work for a tech company, though.
I do. So yeah.
There's that.
I should know these things.
But somebody, I know how to tweet. I'm really funny. I don't know if you knew this about me. And not enough people on Twitter appreciate it. So I just get mad. I tweet into the fucking void.
Because I'm not on Twitter.
Well, Ange, what the fuck?
I know. I'll get better.
You're supposed to be my yeah girl.
I am your yeah girl. I'm just not your yeah girl on Twitter.
Well, then, you know, now accepting applications for a Twitter-specific yeah girl, I guess. Fuck. Anyway, on Tumblr, there was a breakdown of Tay's looks throughout the years.
Oh, nice.
And it was like... really, really, somebody that commented, they were like really, really, really identifying with Taylor's slow descent into Witch of the Woods vibe. Because she starts off, you know, with her curly hair and her guitar and all cute and bubbly and 15. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, goes through all her phases. And then there's like, they get to like Lover, where it's like they pulled a still from her, music video with, I can't remember the name of the song now, where she's got like the pink boa and she's like, everything's like really bright and beautiful and fun. And then the next is from, it's from Folklore. And she's just standing in the middle of the woods by herself in this long, shapeless coat with like messy hair.
That's everyone in the pandemic.
And then like they put one up for Evermore and she's just further into the woods. Like in like a different coat and still just kind of like wandering around looking lost. It was like, I've never identified with Taylor Moore.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, she jumped off that cliff real quick. So that's where I am. That's where you are.
It's a good place to be. Yeah.
We love Tay.
So much so.
We had a ridiculously long conversation about how much better our lives would be if we were friends with her.
Like in real life.
In real life.
Real life friends.
Obvs. No, actually, I read somewhere, somebody stumbled across her. They met her in Central Park. Like it was like a random fan meeting. And she was just like hanging out I don't think she was working. She was like hanging out in Central Park and somebody in their group of friends was like, oh my God, it's Taylor Swift. And she was like, oh, hey guys. She was really cool and nice. And she's like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, it's, you know, the one girl, she was like, it's my birthday today. And she's like, oh my God, it's your birthday. What are you going to do? And she's like, we were actually just walking through the park and then we're going to go to Chipotle. Do you want to come with us? And Taylor was like, I really do want to come with you, but oh my God, I have to be somewhere in a half an hour. Here, hang on. I don't have anything to give you. And she just like opened up her wallet. She's like, I have $60. Please take it.
Oh.
And they're like, so we basically mugged Taylor Swift for my birthday. And she's like, here, go get Chipotle on me.
Oh, like, what a sweetheart.
Like, just everyone's like, she's like, everyone who's met her is like, she's kind of like an old lady trapped in a really young woman's body. Here, honey, take some money and go.
Yeah, I can't relate to that anymore. I mean,
I know.
Not that I'm in a young body anymore, but
you're still smoking, all right? You sent me that picture of you in your jammies last night. Yeah. It was really cute.
Thanks.
Your sweater that I bought you for Christmas 2 years ago.
Yeah, it still fits. I don't know how.
Well, that's nice. If you'd like one that doesn't fit me anymore, you can have a second one. What kind of Christmas gift that is. All right. So speaking of the holidays.
Yes.
We are actually celebrating a different holiday today, which is not just Taylor Swift's birthday, but the first ever David Harbour Day celebration here in Schipper City. As promised, last time you were on the show back in, when the fuck was that? August? July? Who knows? Who even knows?
It was hot
outside. It was hot. And I was unemployed. That's what I know, because I'm pretty sure it didn't matter what day of the week we did this. That spans a lot of time this past year. So who knows? But I promised that you would come back and I would give you the opportunity to thirst out loud about your favorite dad bod. Step aside, Hawkeye. Step back, Ant-Man. Make way for the dad bod and all dad bods. The soft shoulders upon which they could stand. David K. Harbour.
David and here Kenneth we are. Harbour.
Is that his middle name? Is it Kenneth?
It
I was hoping
is.
It was Kenneth.
Yeah.
I was hoping you knew that also.
Yes.
I'm glad that you know that.
He is the dad bod of all dad bods.
Why? Not that I'm shaming you. This is not a kink shame at all. Why are you so attracted to him?
What's there not to love?
Let's say there's a lot to love.
There's
and let's
so
break
much
it down.
To love. All right. So when we were actually talking about this after we finished recording the last podcast we did together, we were like, let's look at IMDb. Let's see what movies, you know, he's been in and you know, just talk about him for a second. And as we were going through them, I was like, holy shit. Like, he's been in so many movies.
But just tiny baby parts. Just little parts.
Little parts.
Yeah.
And then he really came on the scene with his appearance in Stranger Things.
Yes. That's when everybody fell in love with him.
Right. I mean, because, you know, Hellboy, he was there. He did it. He did his thing.
It wasn't a good movie.
Yeah.
The Hellboy that he was in where he was Hellboy was not that good. Sorry, Dave.
Everyone fell in love with him, self included, when he came on the scene as Hopper in Stranger Things.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And
go ahead.
I was just going to say, my little Hopper Pop Funko guy just solidifies
That was your birthday present last year, wasn't it?
It was, yes. Thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's on my television stand in the living room.
I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember if I sent you Hopper or if I sent you Hawkeye. But
yeah, no, it was Hopper.
I'm glad I made the right choice.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Is it him in his Hawaiian shirt?
It is. Yes.
Oh good. No, oh good. Wait. No. Do you not know?
I'd have to go back out and look at it again.
It's either him in his uniform, which of course I'm sure you're very thirsty about.
I think it's him in his Hawaiian shirt. I'm almost positive.
Okay. I feel like if there was a Hawaiian shirt option, I would not have been able to resist because that is such a dad look.
Oh my God.
So fun fact for everybody in Shiver City. Before we even started talking about this, Ange informed me that she was sweating thinking about David Harbour. And she was like, I'm taking my sweatshirt off. I was like, oh my God, clothes are already coming off. Just thinking about how thirsty. Do you recall when I first mentioned his name to you on this podcast and you like panted in reply? I was sitting across from you. We were in Cleveland together. And I was like, so you're a fan of David Harbour too? And you're like, yeah. It's like this bark.
I was a couple drinks in at that point too, but
it's true. Yeah. A couple cans of wine. Classy ladies that we are. The classiest. Okay, so things that you love about Hopper. Let's talk about his characters that we know of. Well, I'm only going to talk about Hopper because I don't know much about Hellboy. And I didn't like that movie enough to watch it more than once. Sorry.
So
let's talk about Hopper.
Hopper is so endearing. He's got this like moral compass, obviously being, you know,
chief
police. And when all of this crazy shit starts happening, he is just the one to step in, and he's like believing the kids and all of the stuff because he's like witnessing and experiencing all this weird, crazy stuff himself. But I just love his like soft demeanor when it comes to Elle.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that he's just so sweet and so kind and like, he just really loves her and really cares about her and wants to protect her, wants to keep her safe. And I just think that that's like probably the best part of his character. But he's also just a badass. Like, he's just like, he smokes a lot of cigarettes and like,
he's
like the epitome of like that type of, I don't know, like kind of cool, but like, I don't know. Doesn't want to.
I feel like the Surgeon General should slap a warning on this podcast. We are not advising that smoking cigarettes makes you look cool.
Agreed. But like back then,
if you're Jim Hopper.
Yeah. But Jim Hopper just had like such a cool vibe about him and like, sorry, I'm like gushing thinking.
I know. I can hear you sweating through the microphone. No, what I do remember though, your first introduction to Hopper is he's late for work and he's getting ready. And he's like smoking while brushing his teeth. And like, I will never forget. I had like a visceral reaction to that. I was like, ugh.
Like Hopper season one to Hopper season two. He's a hot mess in season one, which I could relate to.
Right. Right, Miss. You know, I start work at 8:30, so I get up at 8:20.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, exactly. No, I mean he does have a very nice character arc of, you know, how Elle makes him a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And also I'm excited for season four of Stranger Things because obviously Hopper is not dead.
Right.
I say obviously because that's what I choose to believe. And I don't even say that like it's just faith. Like, because in the teaser that they released, he was mm-hmm. there. He was mm-hmm. in Russia.
He was.
Which is interesting because we're going to talk about his other character in a second. But yeah. But yeah, so I'm excited to see what the hell that does. What goes on there. I have watched season three of Stranger Things probably five times now.
Only five? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to get through. I don't ever just start with season three. I do a full rewatch from the disappearance of Will Byers to the Battle of Starcourt. And that fucking letter.
Oh,
that speech that he didn't give, but he wrote mm-hmm. down for Elle. It is an ugly, ugly cry every mm-hmm. single time. Every single time.
Alligator tears.
Oh, my God. The first time I watched, I couldn't breathe. Like, Jer was sitting next to me like, are you kidding me right now?
Get you a brown paper bag for your hyperventilation.
Like, he was just like, do you need a minute? I can stop this. I was like, are mm-hmm. you kidding? And prolong this agony? Just keep going. What's wrong with you? Just keep playing. My soul will reattach itself in a minute. Oh, my God. Yeah, just because there's so much. They do such a good job in the fact that they don't have, especially in season three.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of screen time together.
Right.
And most of the time he's being like a grumpy dad, which is really cute.
Mm-hmm.
And how much he hates Mike, which I do love when he's like, you are going to shut up and you're going to listen to me. And if I decide that at the end of this, you've listened well enough, I will continue to allow you.
Mm-hmm.
To put your hands on my daughter. It's like, oh, I love you. Where he scares the hell out of him. And then
mm-hmm.
and then he tries to lie to Elle and it's hilarious on the phone. That whole scene where his mom is listening. And he's like, yeah, my Nana is really sick. She might die. <It's> like, what? Is Nana all right?
Back in the day when you used to have multiple phones in your house.
Oh,
and
God.
Anyone could pick up and listen in at any
just
time.
Just listen to your shit? Oh, my God. Ugh.
Nightmare.
Ugh.
Glad
we passed
that.
But also, you could leave the house
mm-hmm.
and no one could get hold of you.
Also true.
And that is just great. You could leave the house, no one could get a hold of you, and you wouldn't have an anxiety attack about it. Which is like, mm-hmm. I could leave my cell phone at home, sure, but at what cost?
Right.
So we love Hopper, and I do feel like he and Joyce will get together at some point. I feel like they're end game couple.
I think that they are end game. I think that there's too much history with what they've gone through to mm-hmm. not end up being together. Although I loved mm-hmm. Bob. Bob was great.
Oh, Bob.
Poor Bob. God rest his soul.
Ugh, child of God.
Mm-hmm.
I love how well Bob and Jim work together at the very end.
Yes.
And how Hopper tried to save him and mm-hmm. and it was very sad. But I really love any time that one or both of them mention their time together in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Because they sound like so much fun.
They do. They'd be a riot. Again.
Jim and Joyce. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool
sometimes
kids.
Sometimes I feel like I probably should have grown up in that age. I mean, I wouldn't have become your friend, but because I'd be, you know, a creepy adult.
So you would have been my mom's friend.
Yeah. I would have definitely hung out with Peg.
You and Peg would have been tight.
Yeah, well,
Peg,
for sure.
I mean, you and Peg were tight. Peg loved you anyway.
I think I showed her a good time when she came to Clarion and toured the campus with us.
You did.
Pointed out all the spots that we were going to go get our tattoos.
Yeah. And she thought we were kidding. And then I got a tattoo. And I was like, Mom, you were amply warned. She's like, I thought you and Angela were kidding.
Yeah, no, sorry, Peg.
Sorry, we literally never said that we were kidding. You chose
Funny
to believe
thing is,
that.
Though, I still don't have any tattoos myself.
I mean, Ange, every time you bring this up, I tell you.
I know.
Whenever you're ready, my hand is yours to hold while you make a bad decision. Except I think all tattoos are great decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I... Oh, speaking of, can we stray real quick? Can we talk about tattoos on somebody else for just 1 second? Because I've never addressed it on this podcast. So the frequent topic of conversation of thirst, Mr. Chris Evans, had posted a video of himself without a shirt on at the end of summer. And he was like, showed like that his chest was like covered in tattoos. And his side and back and stuff. So like his like midsection is like covered in tattoos. And I just like, I looked at them and everybody was like losing their minds. Mm-hmm. And I was like, of course they are, because everybody's fucking thirsty. But like losing their shit. And like I was like looking at these tattoos and I was like, wow, some of these are really bad. Like, obviously it's a blurry video and I have no firsthand knowledge. But I was like looking at them and I was like, are those like punk rock stars that you have on your, are those nautical stars, sir?
Oh,
that you have on your stomach? What are those?
No, no, no.
And then there's like a tree situation happening on his side. And then like this like bro-y fucking eagle on his chest, on his heart. He's such a fucking frat boy. I can't deal. But I was like totally, I was just like being rude. I was like, what are those, Christopher? Did you get some of those when you lost a bet? What the fuck? And then like the other part of my brain was like, Emily, you have two Harry Potter tattoos, one of which is a tramp stamp, and a very classy decision that you made while on vacation in Miami Beach. I knew that's what you were thinking of.
Yep.
And a select few have seen
to talk.
You have zero room to talk about bad tattoos, young lady. Zero. Yes, I know. I also have a very, very poorly designed and poorly placed maple leaf for zero reason whatsoever on my hip, which someday will be covered up with something that actually means something. So I can give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't remember why we started talking about this, but I felt like I had to admit to the fact that I was that I was shitty about his tattoos without any possible reason, because I have no room to talk.
Yeah, no room.
None. I have some seriously trashy tattoos. But, you know.
Mm-hmm. I've been lucky enough to see all of them.
All of them? You've seen all of my tattoos?
Yep.
You're like one of five people who've seen that spring break mistake. Oh God. Oh, first time reactions are the best though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I got it. because nobody would expect somebody who's chubby and has glasses and looks like a librarian most of the time and has more cardigan sweaters than any other kind of clothing in her wardrobe to have that particular tattoo. Mm-hmm. So, that being said, lots of my tattoos are fandom-based and Marvel-related, which brings us back to our topic at hand, Mr. David Harbour, and an upcoming Marvel movie. This part of the podcast, friends, was actually supposed to be a discussion of a movie we had already seen.
Mm-hmm.
But if we'd like to reopen the salt mines...
pour it right in the wound.
Fucking Black Widow has been pushed back for a third time and is now once again slated to be released in May of 2021, when it was supposed to be released in May of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That fucking mouse just wants to rake in as much in theater cash as they can. But I hate to break it to you, even if we are all vaccinated by May of 2021, first of all, a lot of movie theaters will not be in business anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. And also, a lot of people are still not going to be comfortable packing a movie theater when they've been watching everything on streaming for the last year and a half, and it's been fine. So... I don't know what they're fucking waiting for. They could have released it 10 times by now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's this face? Is what their face is doing with Wonder Woman, which I just canceled my HBO subscription. Fucking Warner Brothers is like, how about we release every single movie on HBO at the same time as we do a theatrical release? Just in case Emily wants to reevaluate the things that she's spending her money on. Which she always does. So they have pushed back this movie again. We were going to talk about the character of Red Guardian and what we thought about it, how much mm-hmm. we loved him in this role, how funny it was, how touching, what, how great the action was. We have none of this information.
Nothing. We have a trailer.
Yeah. One single trailer. That is it. That is it. But the things that we have in that trailer... are great. So I don't remember the last name of this character. I know his first name is Alexei. It's something with an S.
Shostakov.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's how you say it.
Something like that. Something super Russian. His mm-hmm. character that this is David Harbour's character in the upcoming Black Widow movie. He is playing a character called the Red Guardian, which is like the Russian Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a super soldier serum involved.
Could be.
Don't know if there is, though, because part of the character that he is playing is that he is an aged Red Guardian.
Yes.
Who has not necessarily kept in prime Red Guardian shape.
Mm-hmm.
In the off season, as it were.
You know what he has kept in shape? That great beard of his.
Yes, it is a great beard. So there's a scene in the trailer where he and Rachel Weisz and Florence Pugh and Scarlett Johansson are all sitting around a dinner table. And he yells at, no, sorry, Rachel Weisz yells at Natasha to stop slouching. And she says, Natasha, don't slouch. You'll get the back hunch. And she's like, I wasn't slouching. And then he's like, listen to your mother. Up, up, up. But she's like, I was. Everybody shut up. And then Yelena's like, I wasn't saying anything. And then they all take shots of vodka because they're very Russian. In canon, Natasha's actual parents are dead. She hasn't seen them since she was teeny tiny small and she was taken to the Red Room. So this, I think, is like their cover family.
Mm-hmm.
Like they lived together as like this cover story where they were her parents and Yelena was her sister. So I think we're going to get the four of them working together to, like, well, I have no fucking idea is what I
to do something
to do something very dramatic. Something that involves David Harbour putting his Red Guardian costume back on.
A little snug.
It's a little snug. Basically, the moments that we have seen with him in this trailer have been wonderful. And Mr. Harbour himself says that he thinks, I mean, he's obviously biased, but he thinks that the Red Guardian is one of the best comic book characters and has a really great backstory and a really great interesting story that he's very excited to, like, be a part of the MCU. So I'm hoping this is not his last appearance as this character.
We'll have to see. I'm hoping that this will be just one of many.
Obviously. Obviously, we always want more. We always want more David Harbour.
So thirsty. So
how you doing, Ange? You still you staying cool? Staying hydrated over there?
Yep.
All right, good. So yeah, so everything we've seen about him in this movie looks wonderful. I think if they lean in to the found family aspect, and not to be sexist, but the fact that it was written and directed by a woman gives me hope, because I feel like as a whole, as a rule, female screenwriters tend to acknowledge that most people who go to see these movies do so because they like things like the found family aspect. And they like to see the characters relating to each other. And I think there might be, I'm hopeful, fingers crossed, that there might be more of that. Dear God, please. Please, after being found family fucking baited with the goddamn Avengers for 10 years, please just give me this moment. That's all I want. This is all I need. And I will never be happy. I almost lied. I almost lied to all of Shipper City and said, this is what I need, this exact thing, and I'll be happy with the MCU. I will never, ever be happy with the MCU. But are you really a Marvel fan if you don't hate it? No.
The answer is no.
You aren't. Never. If you're like one of those weird Marvel fans that is like, I love all of the movies. What? Why?
You've got to have some kind of disappointment.
You have to hate some part of it.
Yeah, which turns to hate and anger because you're missing something.
And then it turns to fanfic. Like, I think you can't write good fanfic if you love all of the source material. The fuck? What are you doing? You're happy and satisfied. You're a normal person. I don't know what it's like to be you. I couldn't possibly foresee watching a movie with Captain America in the hands of those idiots and thinking they did such a good job that I couldn't do better. My own ego will not allow that. But I'm fingers crossed that this Black Widow thing doesn't just lead me down an entirely new path. I'm really married to Cap, so he's also tattooed into my skin. So.
Yeah.
All right. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts other than you hope it's good for Black Widow?
I do like the idea of the found family story. I think we're going to tap into that and see. But I mean, I don't know. They haven't really given us much to go off aside from a couple
fucking nothing.
Couple photos of David Harbour shirtless with all these tattoos. So
what?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, girl, I'll send them.
Yeah, text them to me. These will be supplemental materials.
Okay. Not like totally shirtless, but enough.
Well, wait. Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Like as Red Guardian?
Yeah.
Speaking of, I thought I was off base. I thought I was off topic talking about my tattoos and Chris Evans' shitty tattoos.
No. Brought it right back around. Here we,
and this is why you have had the same job for 9 years.
Yeah.
Only I am such a bitch that I can make an actual compliment sound like a fucking insult. Oh my God. Why do you love me? I'm so mean to you.
Love you and I miss you. Be in my life.
Okay. All right. So you're going to text me those pictures and I will put them on something, probably Instagram. Remember that day that I sent you the David Harbour Rolling Stone interview photos, and you were like, "Great, now I have to take the day off of work."
Yeah.
Because I sent you a picture of a 49-year-old man smoking a cigar while fully clothed in a bathtub. I love you so much. Speaking of, now that you're all hot and bothered, let's get right into the fix. Are you? Oh my god, you're so cute. Oh my god, I love you.
I love you too.
Blushing. You're blushing about how I sent you fully clothed softcore porn. What's your celebrity crush? And you were so flustered you had to go home. Oh god, you're cute. You're cute. Speaking of, let's talk about these fanfics that I sent you.
Yes.
So I promised, well, now see, aren't you glad knowing that I know the people I know? Mm-hmm. And that I know the darkest avenues of the internet. Aren't you glad that I did not send you real person David Harbour fic? You wouldn't be able to handle it. You would not have been able to handle that.
No,
I know you. You would have.
Not even like a paragraph.
You would have canceled this interview. You'd have been like, Emily, I can't talk about this, because you would have just been blushing like a virgin the whole time. And I wouldn't have been able to actually get you to talk. Because you're adorable. But so I sent you a couple. You were like, I was like, okay, I'll just probably just do Hopper fix unless I can find something Black Widow related. Mm-hmm. And you were like, oh, I'm cool with real person, too. And I was like, you say that very rarely, Angela. You don't know this about real person fanfic. You haven't swum the murky waters that I have.
I haven't.
Very rarely. It's a real person fanfic rated anything other than E for extremely explicit. Okay. You don't know this, okay, but I do. And so when you sent me that, I was like, she's not ready for that.
Yeah.
She
Baby
thinks
steps.
She is. It's like
clearly
when you used to
I'm
tell
not.
Me it was like when you used to tell me you had crushes on different boys at school, and I was like, you're not ready for that.
Yeah.
You're
He's
not
right.
gonna be nice to you. you need somebody kinder, quieter, and gentler.
Yes.
He's not going to be nice to you. And you're like, no, I think he's good. I'm like, you're not ready for it.
Yep.
So I had to gatekeep your social life, and I have to gatekeep your fanfic experience, because I know you. And you'll just jump in and you'll be like, oh, what does E stand for? Everyone? No.
What to?
This is not like video games, Angela.
Yeah.
No.
And I wouldn't know that.
You wouldn't know that. You need me. You need me to hold your hand and send you these fanfics. So let's just talk about the one that I think you probably enjoyed the most. I'm just laughing because I'm not looking at your face right now. I know exactly what you're doing. So this one is, so there were two Joyce and Hopper fics. Mm-hmm. And then there was one Alexi and Melina fic, which wasn't really, I felt kind of baited with that one because it wasn't actually about Alexi and Melina, but we'll get into that later. Mm-hmm. So two Stranger Things and one Black Widow fic is what I was able to find. Mm-hmm. But the first one is called A Low and Distant Sound by Howdy Space Buddy, which is a great pen name.
Such a good name.
And so this is a post season one one shot about Hopper coming over to Joyce's house for dinner and then staying. And now when I sent these fics to Ange, I did tell her, I said, this is spicy. This is an M-rated one. And then she forgot.
And I even clicked the proceed button access the adult content.
I was going to say, I haven't been not logged into AO3 for so long that I don't have to, I have my preferences well set. Nothing stands between me and my smut anymore. There's no, but you don't have an account, so that makes sense.
No, yeah. I should have heeded the warning.
I should have thought about it. You didn't think about it. So you Okay, so you proceeded. Mm-hmm. You clicked that you were over 13 years old.
Yes.
And is it 13 or is it 18? Do they actually make you say that you're over 18? I don't remember.
No, I just clicked proceed. They didn't make me specify.
I don't read the legalese anymore. Sure. I just clicked sure.
Terms and conditions.
No, I thought about this and I was like, "And is this the first spicy sexy fanfic that I've ever sent you?" I know it is for the podcast, but mm-hmm. apparently I've sent you sexy things that I've written, which I have no memory of doing that. So I hope you enjoyed them. Although I don't know why I'm saying that, because I know you don't fucking read anything that I sent you that I write. So. Whatever.
Completely true.
No, that's worse. Don't fucking tell me that you read something of mine and then never spoke of it again. I need to believe that you do not read anything because I never hear from you. It's not okay.
It's just we'll keep it at that.
Fine, I never read anything. What that tells me is you do read it, you don't like it, and you don't want to ruin our friendship because you know how delicate my ego is. So, what did you think about this sexy little one shot? I thought it was great.
I really liked this spicy fic.
Mm-hmm.
As I was reading it, I really felt like it honestly could have been after the season ends. Like, this is really what we're seeing happen in, like, the next episode.
Yes.
So, yeah. So Hopper shows up. Joyce is trying to cook dinner. She's not
yada,
doing
yada,
so great
yada.
With it. Yeah. the kids show up. Eat dinner. It's a whole like normal family kind of feel.
Yeah.
And Hopper's just kind of like a little awkward, or like
mm-hmm.
there's a little bit of tension that you can feel between them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it snows and blizzards, and Jonathan says, "You can't go anywhere. It's gonna be a blizzard for 7 hours."
Jonathan. Jonathan, I feel like Jonathan was matchmaking a little bit there.
He was totally matchmaking. So, so Hop stays over on the couch.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And Joyce has a giant hole in her living room. She'll freeze out here.
Yeah. So,
Hopper, you can't stay on the couch.
Right. It's going to be way too cold.
Let me warm you up in my single bed.
In my tiny ass bed.
And like, I think the author really wrote their connection very well. Like, it was very, mm-hmm. It was very natural.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, I really do feel like it was easily could have been folded into canon, if only mm-hmm. if we'd been given mm-hmm. what we wanted from the get-go.
Yeah,
I thought they nailed the characterization, and the actual smut itself was realistic, but not
realistic and tasteful.
Smut. Yes, I was gonna say it was realistic, but it wasn't like too realistic.
Because
mm-hmm. like sometimes you don't want to just read about like normal. I mean, most of the time, I never want to read about like normal people having normal sex.
Right.
I'm like, no, I can have plenty of that on a bad day. That's fine. Like, I read fanfic for like escapism, and it was like very mm-hmm. pretty, but it was very true to character. I thought it was very, very good.
Yes. Completely true to character. And Hopper was just a great man.
Yeah. Yeah, he really was. He's just a good guy. And I just, I just want Joyce Byers to have a nice day.
Exactly.
And a nice night. And that's what she got in this fic. So thank you, Howdy Space Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the next Stranger Things fic that I sent you was called Our House Was Our Castle, Our Keep by mm-hmm. INTB Slytherin Ray Love 97. A lot going on there in that name. So this was a series of one shots. So it's always mm-hmm. marked as complete. This author goes back to it whenever they feel like it. But every one of these one shots can be read by itself, which is what mm-hmm. I liked about it. But this was literally just like, I think there's 9 chapters right now. It was just 9 moments of the Hopper Buyers Collective, like being adorable.
Now, would you say that this is technically a found family?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Totally. Because of the way that it's not just a, you know, kind of established family of like the Byers family and the Hopper family being blended, but it's also all of the like surrounding nebulous of friends. So like there's mention of Harrington and there's mention of Robin, and I don't want to call him by his last name. Like we're fucking baseball teammates.
I was going to say bros.
Baseball bros. Steve. My sweet baby Steve and Dustin and all the friends kind of coming and going and being part of their life. But everybody's there together. And there's just that ongoing feeling of like the thing I love about Joyce is that she's such a mom that she's everybody's mom.
Yeah.
Like she knows Elle for 5 minutes in season 1. And she's like, this is my new child.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that Winona Ryder just brings so much warmth to that character that it's very easy to write her as somebody who just keeps collecting strays wherever she goes, which I identify with. I also pick up strays wherever I go. Yes. And I think that this fic really did a nice job of showing how much love there is. And I think that's what makes that show so great.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because the sci-fi elements are, you know, have never been seen before, even though they haven't. And it's a really interesting story from just a sci-fi level. But like the fact that those characters and those actors even love each other so much. I really felt like this fic did a good job of exploring that side of it. It was really cute. So,
the last one.
Yeah.
I was just going to say the one that I read was Robin. And I just thought that it was like really cool to see how protective Joyce and Hopper both go when they hear a knock at the door at like 2 o'clock in the morning and it's Robin showing
news.
Up.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's no questions asked, you know?
Yeah. It's just like, okay. Immediately go into like protective mode. Likely because they're still suffering with all of the PTSD for everything they've just gone through.
Oh my God. That whole family. It's so much therapy. So it was just, it was like an instant, you know, mom and dad mode activated. Keep everybody else safe. Bring in the person who needs to be saved. You know, it was really cute. And it was like instant. And they worked really well as a team together. There was like a handoff of like, I can handle this. Go back to bed. Go check on the kids. Blah, blah, blah. Kind of thing. It was really cute. It was it was just cute.
Yeah. Good job.
Good job, INTP Slytherin Raylove 97. Thank you for your time. All right. And then the last one. Was called Youth Makes Fools of Us All by Sanctaria.
We'll go with that.
I don't know. But it was the Black Widow fic. And it was about the mission that we're hoping we get to see the fallout of or the continuation of in the Black Widow movie of that family unit being formed for a mission. So Red Guardian and Melina, played by Rachel Weisz, who was the Black Widow at the time, playing husband and wife, and Natasha and Yelena being their children, playing their daughters for whatever mission this is. I thought it was going to be about Alexi and Melina.
I thought so too.
Since they were the main ship, they were like, it was the, I mean, you don't know this because you don't spend as much time on AO3 as I do, which is good because you're healthy. you have relationships outside of just your partner. But but when you tag something as like a ship and it's the first thing in the tag, that's like indicative that it's the main focus of the fic.
Yeah.
And so I don't blame this writer for mistagging. Obviously, it was the only ship in the fic. Mm-hmm. But there just wasn't enough. They were kind of just little background characters. Yeah. It was a great Natasha piece, though.
It was.
I loved, like, if I hadn't just shown up there looking for Alexi fic, which of mm-hmm. which, by the way, there is fucking nothing.
Well, let's hope that after May 2021 or 22 or 23, whenever it comes out. Stop.
Why would you say that? Don't you say that?
I take 23? It back from the universe.
Oh, my God. I know. Fucking kill me. Let's hope.
Let's hope that there's more after yes. this film comes out. Because I'm what sure I'm, we're going to be wanting more.
We are. If we are
Marvel's
already wanting
told
more.
Us anything.
Marvel's given us any indication our needs will not be met by what they put on the big screen. Mm-hmm. No, but what I'm hoping for is a started out as a mission turned into something more romance between mm-hmm. Alexi and Melina. That's what I'm hoping for. I don't think I'm going to get it, but that's what I want to see in fic. And that's what I was hoping to see in this fic. But like I said, it was an excellent Natasha centric piece about her time in the mm-hmm. Red Room. She's very little in this fic. So she's like mm-hmm. 11. And she's tapped for this mission with Yelena, and it shows like the beginning of their bond, mm-hmm. which I'm very excited about Florence being in the MCU and playing Yelena, because I love her and I think she's going to be great. But yeah, and I think that she's going to be, going forward, she's going to be the Black Widow in the MCU. Mm-hmm. Which will be awesome. So cool. I don't want to talk too good about a Marvel making a good decision yet, because they have plenty of time to fuck it up. But right now, it's so cool. But yeah, so they're tapped for this mission. They move in with the Red Guardian, with Melina, for it's like 2 weeks or something. Mm-hmm. And they all have to act as a family. And these little girls are so sad because they've never been outside before, and they've never been away from the Red Room, and they've never had toys or games to play or anything that felt like sisters or anything. Like, they've always been at each other's throats, literally. Mm-hmm. So it's a sad look at the way that those girls were raised, but it's also very hopeful, because at the end you get that sense that bond has been cemented.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. Mm-hmm. So not what I thought I was getting, but what I very much enjoyed, Youth Makes Fools of Us All by Sanctaria. I don't know how to say that name.
I did like this one. I was hoping for more of an Alexi story. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll wait until after the movie comes out, and then
it's fine.
Again.
We'll wait.
But if you want to write it already, like, go for it.
You won't read it, first of all. Don't fucking lie to me.
not you specifically. I mean, if you want to.
If you want to, I definitely won't read it. I can't write it right now. I don't have enough information.
Yeah. But if anyone else is willing to tap into it.
Please.
We're here for it.
We're here for it. We will review it. We will talk about it. Because obviously I'll be dragging Ange back for some other old man to thirst after.
I'd like to thirst after David Harbour more.
Do you have more to say? I'm getting ready to get into closing thoughts. So yeah, let's wrap this up. Let's talk about your final thirst.
Well, I had a missed opportunity probably 2 years ago now, I think. Mr. David Harbour himself did come to the city that I live in Pennsylvania, and did an interview at one of the local colleges, and I didn't get my shit together quick enough to get tickets, so
oh,
I didn't get to
Angela.
Go.
Angela.
Disappointed right. on that one.
Add that to the list of deathbed confessions you'll make of mm-hmm. things you wish you had done that will confuse your grandchildren someday.
Yes. Yes. It's on there. Don't worry.
It's on there.
But I mean, if David Harbour hears this and, you know, he wants to come back and like talk to a group of college students and listen, a 30-year-old, he's welcome to.
I mean, how about we don't invite the college students? If David Harbour hears this and he just wants to come to Shipper City and hang out.
Yes.
I will readily make myself and Angela available. I will go into her Outlook calendar that she doesn't use, and I will set up an appointment that she will not be able to miss. It will have 7,000 alarms and alerts and emails sent out, and we will make that happen. So, David, I know you have your ear to the ground of like when you're tagged in something. You'll be tagged in this episode, and if you want to come hang out in Shipper City, we would love to have you and your dad bod on the air. Here with us.
I just got all flushed again.
Did you start sweating again?
Maybe.
More layers are coming off in that little closet she's in. Oh my God.
There is also no airflow in this closet.
I don't buy it. I don't think that has anything. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that you're sweating profusely right now.
Probably not.
No, no. Doesn't. Oh my God. All right. So that is your one regret in life, is that you didn't get to see him in person. That's fine. We have plenty of time to make up for that.
Okay,
look,
good.
Look, I can't have that. Okay. I will not sleep until I will not give in to the cool release of death until I have facilitated a meeting with you and David Harbour. Right. Oh, that is my vow.
Out in the universe. Yep.
That is my vow. It's your friend. This, I don't listen. I don't take my staving off of the sweet release of death lightly. You know, I welcome it with every breath. So that's how important you are to me. Right.
No, that's real friendship.
Isn't it just everybody who's not my real friend is very jealous right now.
Totally jealous.
Totes gel. All right. Well, in that case, I feel like that's a strong note to end on. It's a strong that's a strong promise I just made. I need time to sit with that and make sure my will is updated. I'm very big on the do not resuscitate order, but if I haven't listened, I haven't gotten this done yet, I'll have to add in an addendum.
Yes, please. Let's get that added in there. I'll call up an attorney.
Do not resuscitate unless Emily has not facilitated a meeting between Ange and David Harbour. In which case, sorry, that bitch is on life support until she makes it happen. Plug her in. I'll be like, she's literally brain dead. You'll be like, I don't make these rules. They're like, no, like she's a straight up vegetable. And you'd be like, no, listen, no. She'll come back.
She'll make it work.
She really hates having left shit undone. Oh, God. All right. Well, I love you so much.
I love you.
This was so fun. I'm so glad we did it. Pick your next dad and you can come back.
Deal.
I'm sure you should come back for at least whenever that movie is released. I mean, according to you, it's going to be in 4 years. So,
well,
I don't know.
Blame the mouse, not me.
I will blame that mouse for every goddamn thing that ever goes wrong in my life. But in the meantime, you're the greatest. I love
you.
Congratulations on your work anniversary.
Thanks. 9 years. God.
Congratulations on your goddamn stability and ability to stick with anything. Mm-hmm. I'm jealous a little.
Oh, my life is so boring. But, you know what makes your life exciting? Lack of stability.
You know what makes your life exciting? Your 8-page resume. That's what makes your life exciting, Emily. Christ. Oh my God. Does your, I mean, now I'm jealous. Like, does your resume fit on a fucking index card? Because like,
yeah, it's like a half page.
Oh, I hate you. I hate you. Paring down my resume to relevant experience is a goddamn nightmare. Maybe I'll stay at this new job for 9 years and then we can joke about how boring I've become. I hope so.
I would love that for you.
Girl, I'd be tired. Love that for me too. I can't handle having another fucking 11 companies under my belt by the time I'm 42. Oh. That would be too much. All right. Tumultuous 20s are behind us.
Yes.
Stability going forward. That's the plan. All right.
I love it.
I'm going to be like you, Ange. How about that? That's my, that's my new. All right. She says she starts sweating again in her closet. All right. I love you. I want you to have the best life ever, just forever. And then also a great Harbor Day season.
Oh, thanks. I hope you have a great Harbor Day season. You know, we could, whatever Arbor Day is, I don't know when that holiday is, but
sometime
we could
in April.
Have another. Well, David Harbour's birthday is in April.
Oh, should we do a reprise?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Perfect. Mark it on the calendar. We'll have an Harbor Day, and wish him a happy birthday. And mm-hmm. also, I think for that one, we should review all of his lesser known films.
Okay.
In which he has a bit part. That would actually be really fun. I'm making it. We're making it happen. Okay. All right. You are the best. I love you. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome.
Thank you for letting me dip my toes into the spicy content that you provided.
Spicy world of fanfic. If you want some more, girl, first hit was free. You're going to be coming back. Thirsty girl, you. All right, everybody else, you have spicy fix to read, you have sweet fix to read, you have Black Widow fix to read. You've got plenty to do, holiday shopping to take care of, whatnot, candles to light if you're Jewish, happy Hanukkah, we're right in the middle of it. And everybody else, have a great week, and above all else, get your ship together.